On this edition of the Geopolitics and Empire podcast, we speak with Vietnam veteran and Virginia State Senator Richard Black. Thank you for joining us, Senator.
It's very nice to be with you today.
Let's start specifically on Syria and then work our way towards Russia, because from the global geopolitical perspective, the big idea is America's push to dominate Eurasia, which includes Russia and China, in the vein of Halford Mackinder's geostrategy. Hence, Syria is merely a proxy road stop on that world tour, as I see it. In the West, which includes where I am here down in Mexico, we are constantly told that President Assad is a mass murderer, that the Syrian war is a civil war between the Syrian people and President Assad, and, well, ISIS has something to do with it. However, I think the world is slowly learning that this narrative is not entirely true, especially with the help of officials such as yourself and Tulsi Gabbard. You went to Syria last year. Could you tell us the big idea? What precisely is happening in Syria?
First of all, I have studied the Syrian war since we first went into Libya, even before the Syrian war began. And my question was, why are we attacking Libya, which is a neutral, non-belligerent state? The attack was clearly a violation of the law of land warfare. And that led me to the understanding that the purpose in invading Libya was to plunder their large store of modern weapons and ship it across to Lebanon and Turkey, and then across the border into Syria so that we could overthrow the Syrian government.
And that's something that I'm not sure if you're familiar with. Professor Francis Boyle, an international lawyer, he wrote about that. And so what's your big vision of this? So first you mentioned Libya, and now it's Syria. Do you see this as part of some bigger project or as isolated incidents?
Well, if you go back to 2001, General Wesley Clark, who was the Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, he's on a number of YouTube videos, and he describes it quite vividly. And he says that in 2001, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, that the Department of Defense, the Secretary of Defense, sent down an order and said that we will overthrow seven Middle Eastern countries in the next 5 years. And you need to plan, establish war plans to do this. It's important to remember, not one of these countries had taken any hostile action towards the United States or had done anything to justify a war. So every one of these planned wars was a war in clear violation of the law of land warfare. Every one of them was a criminal war. Now, we didn't carry them out immediately. It took time. In 2007, the United States Embassy in Damascus released a document that WikiLeaks fortunately disclosed, and it laid out a detailed plan to destabilize and to overthrow the government of President Bashar al-Assad. Now, at the time, Syria was probably the most advanced and the most optimistic of all of the Arab countries. Investment was flowing into them. The people were happy. The people were prosperous. And we had decided we're going to take them down. And we're going to do two things. First, we're going to smear the reputation of Syria so that we can block the influx of foreign domestic investment. More sinister was the fact that we were going to shatter the religious harmony that was such a fundamental aspect of Syrian culture. People of all religions cooperated, got along, they loved one another in Syria, and we were going to create jealousies and fractions and fragments working with the Muslim Brotherhood. And so that was the plan in 2007. It was not implemented until Hillary Clinton became the Secretary of State. And then under her, we fostered and amplified the Arab Spring. And the Arab Spring, we had portrayed it as a group of democratic people who wanted to wave flowers and bring friendship. And in fact, it was a method to advance the most violent aspects of Islam and to topple the independent nations of Syria, or of the Middle East, rather.
And you know, I know a few Syrian nationals here in the West who are, well, totally against the Assad regime, and they do support U.S. intervention. They say that Assad is a dictator and Syria a police state. You were there. What do we make of this perspective? What can you say about Syrians who have genuine criticism against the Assad regime? Did you meet any when you were there? And I tend not to believe the numbers of the West that say, you know, Assad has exterminated hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, it's very difficult. What can you tell us about that?
Okay, the propaganda war against Syria has been something that the Nazis would be envious of. It has been incredible. We stage some sort of a major propaganda initiative on about a six-month rotating basis. I think the Central Intelligence Agency is tasked with coming up with some sort of a propaganda initiative to undermine the Syrian government. When we have time to go back, we can disprove these. The poison gas attack on Ghouta in the suburbs of Damascus turned out to be a total hoax, and the weapons and the coordination was between the Turkish government and Al-Qaeda. They were the ones who set off the gas attack, and yet the United States was almost drawn into war until, by the grace of God, the British Parliament simply said, we're not going to do this. Then it came to the United States. I personally argued with Eric Cantor, who was the House Majority Leader. We argued for about a half an hour, and I said we cannot do this. And finally, he said, "Dick," he said, "what can we do to get you on board?" I said, "Leave Syria alone." And he said, "Well, we'll have to agree to disagree." But there were a lot of people doing this. And we finally forced the Obama administration to back down from attacking Syria. They had six guided missile cruisers offshore, and they ordered them to return because they could not get American support to invade and attack Syria.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago, Muslim Brotherhood and would it be too simplistic to repeat what the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, Michael Flynn, well, the former head, has publicly stated or alluded to, that the U.S. government has essentially, if not created ISIS, or at the very least, they are arming, training, and funding them? And if so, I mean, I think more world leaders and experts around the world, this is becoming obvious. Why doesn't this get more play?
Well, you know, Michael Flynn was one of the great heroes of the United States. He was the one who has disclosed many of the underhanded schemes that were being undertaken by the Central Intelligence Agency and the State Department. This is the reason that they had to get him out. He was a danger because he understood where all of the skeletons were buried by these people. The United States, starting somewhere around 2012, initiated an operation called Timber Sycamore. Timber Sycamore was run by the Central Intelligence Agency, and it set up terrorist training camps in Jordan, Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. What they did is they provided basic training for terrorists in small arms, the use of TOW anti-tank missiles, basic military technology, and then they sent them off. Now, these people were they moved very fluidly from one organization to the other. So we were literally training individuals who would go off and join ISIS and join Al-Qaeda and all of these other terrorist groups, and they would slaughter innocent Syrians. One of the amazing things about this war is that because of the belief that under the Quran you should instill terrorism in your enemies, they have made these videos, and they videoed themselves beheading people. I have watched 1,000 people being beheaded. I've watched hundreds and hundreds of Syrian soldiers, prisoners of war, who under the Geneva Conventions were entitled to protections, and they're lined up and they're beheaded. And I know that these are true. They're publicized by the terrorist groups themselves. And so the United States, ironically, has become one of the greatest promoters of global terrorism in the world. It's funded principally by Saudi Arabia, Qatar. The monies are funneled through Kuwait, and then they're disseminated. But the United States has become the leader of the terrorist movement across the world. And of course, right now we have President Trump, who has taken a dramatically different course. But the problem is that we have this deep state of people who are holdovers from the last administration, and some members of the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Senate International Relations Committee, who believe that they're going to block any new thinking from coming into the State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, and various important places. So it's a struggle within the United States government. The president has not yet gained complete control because the last administration left individuals who were there to undermine him.
Okay, and let's move on to Russia now, the segue into that topic. That was a very good explanation. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, recently gave an interview in the National, I believe, that he said we are not yet in a new Cold War, but at the same time, Vladimir Putin's press secretary said that we are indeed in a new Cold War, which is worse than the previous. What is your analysis?
You know, when the Cold War ended and the Berlin Wall fell, NATO was a great defensive alliance. And on the other hand, you had the Warsaw Pact, which was their counterpart. When the wall dissolved, the Soviet Union dissolved, it was much like a sandcastle that was hit by a wave and it just simply evaporated. At that time, we should have held a great military parade. We should have marched all of the NATO troops and said, this has been wonderful, thank you very much. And then we should have shut down all of the offices of NATO. Instead, we continued NATO, and NATO transformed. It used to be a strictly defensive alliance, Now it has become a very aggressive, hostile, and dangerous organization. The NATO bureaucrats needed a reason to exist. Soviet Union was gone. Russia is not the Soviet Union. Russia is totally different. For example, they have great religious freedom. They even have medals, military medals, named after the saints. This is different. Had you done that in the Soviet Union, you'd have been gone. But so they have the religious freedom. Sure, they don't have our government, but I got to tell you, our government is not perfect either. We like to think that it is, but it's got its flaws, and they're fairly substantial. Russia, I'm sure, has flaws, but President Putin has exerted great wisdom in what he has done. He's been very measured in his approaches. He has maintained central authority, and he has eliminated a great deal of the corruption that existed. He hasn't eliminated all of it. Nobody has. We haven't eliminated corruption in the United States. It still exists, and it's monumental. Hillary Clinton, when she was there, she set up a foundation that collected $2 billion while she was Secretary of State. That is $2,000 million. This wasn't given because people just liked to hear her give speeches. When she was running for president, she couldn't get 200 or 300 people to come out. Why did people give her $2,000 million for her global initiative? It was money. It was power. It was the ability to influence and to send American troops into battle where we had no business being in battle. So when you get back to Russia, after the fall of the Soviet Union, NATO became very aggressive and it moved steadily eastward. And we had promised, we'd made a solemn commitment that if the Soviet Union would not interfere with the reunification of Germany, we would never move one inch to the east towards Russia. We violated that immediately. We have moved. The latest thing, we have just advanced NATO by incorporating the tiny country of Montenegro. Montenegro has only existed as a nation for 11 years. It is nothing. And the total military strength of all the Air Force, Army, Navy, Special Forces, it amounts to 1,920 soldiers. So we have said the United States will commit its entire armed forces so that we can bring in little Montenegro with less than 2,000 troops. This is insane. And what it has done, it is a deliberate provocation towards war with Russia. Mark my word, there are neocons in the deep state who are committed to a nuclear war with Russia. It is suicidal. It is insane. And yet they are moving us directly towards that. And I think I simply pray that Donald Trump is able to wrest control from them and to diffuse this constant tension with Russia and move back, separate, stop moving NATO troops closer and closer. We're right up on the border now. We run our ships in the Black Sea right up to their territorial waters. And then when they send a ship to buzz us and warn us out of their waters, we say, oh, this was a provocation. Well, running the ship was the provocation, not warning them off with a jet aircraft to say you're about to enter our waters. So The United States under NATO has taken an extremely aggressive and very dangerous course of action. And I'm very hopeful with Rex Tillerson in the Department of State, with Nikki Haley, and of course, with Donald Trump. I think they're determined to defuse this. And I think all people of every nation who know the consequences of nuclear war should be very prayerful that they succeed in their effort, and that there's no reason why Russia should not be one of our number one allies. The little things with Ukraine have no vital interest for the United States or for Mexico or anyone in this hemisphere. That's just things that concern only them and the local people. We need to draw back from this aggressive nature that we have, and we need to become a more peaceful and more friendly country. And I think people will have much greater respect for the United States when we lose this move towards aggression.
And would you agree that U.S. citizens who wittingly or unwittingly perpetuate the false narrative, they are also in a way an accessory to all of this, because they are the ones that give, say, the deep state this ammunition to keep moving forward? And so don't we need not just American but global citizens to become aware to fight for peace against the deep state?
We really do, because really it is through organizations like yours, through the things that I do, through 1,000 other organizations that reveal the truth. I was very pleased the other day that with the Ecuadorian elections, which will provide protection for Julian Assange. I'm a military man, and when I first heard that he's releasing top secret documents, I thought, oh, this is not good. And then I began to read the documents, and I began to realize the deep corruption within the federal government, and how we are moving towards war, how we're violating international law, not from someone's opinion, but from source documents released by the State Department and various by the Central Intelligence Agency. And I thank God for the election in Ecuador. I don't know much about it except that it saves Julian Assange. And it is important for people like you, people like me, to be able to say, it's not just us imagining things. Here are documents released from the federal government. And so we know what's going on. These are facts. These are not fake news like you see from the Washington Times and the Washington Post and all of these others that simply get a central dissemination of propaganda, and they push it out as the truth. The truth comes from organizations like ours that are free. We don't earn money. We're not paid off by Saudi Arabia. We're not paid off by the CIA or any of these other organizations. We basically gather together what little resources we have, and we put out the truth. And the truth is beginning to eat away at the false narrative that has killed millions and millions of people needlessly in the Middle East.
And final two short questions. Why aren't there more people like Senator Black, Congresswoman Gabbard, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and so on?
You know, I sense that there is tremendous fear within the Congress. We just recently had planned a trip to Syria with a prominent congressman, and at the last minute, there was an attempt by the terrorists to break out of some pockets in Damascus, And I knew precisely what was going on, and so did the State Department. But the State Department warned the congressman, said, oh, it's very dangerous, you better not go. I realized that the Syrian government had had a smashing victory in Damascus, and that they had enormously weakened the remaining pockets of resistance in the suburbs of Damascus. And so I knew that it was safe to go in there. But the State Department, there still are these people in the deep state who are doing everything that possible to prevent the truth from coming out of Syria. And so when you go to Russia, you'll communicate truth to them. You know, I communicate truth about Syria. And I think it's through our network where we share ideas and we share documents and intelligence. It's, you know, we don't have necessarily links to whistleblowers in the Pentagon. I don't, but I have an intense study of open source intelligence, and I put two and two together. I discovered just the other day the name of the Central Intelligence program that supplies TOW anti-tank missiles, anti-air missiles, arms, equipment, and training to terrorists. It's called Timber Sycamore, or Timber Sycamore, rather. Timber Sycamore, and that's the name of the CIA program. I don't know where that name was publicized, probably through WikiLeaks, but what we do is we train thousands upon thousands of terrorists, and they learn how to do roadside bombs, how to make explosive belts, how to make suicide vehicles, things like this. And then they go out. We pretend that we're training moderates. These are terrorist jihadists who accumulate from all over the world. We train them. And the United States needs to do several things. First, we need to cut off the supply of TOW anti-tank missiles to all rebels. And we have control over what goes to Saudi Arabia and all the others that we supply with our anti-tank missiles. And we need to get firm control, and we need to do whatever. We need to be threatening, if necessary, to stop them from supplying the terrorists. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, Jaish al-Islam, all of these vile organizations, how did they stop the Syrian tanks? With American TOW anti-tank missiles. This war would have ended years ago had the United States not rushed anti-tank missiles to the terrorists to stop the Syrian army from restoring peace to their own country. We have got to do things. We have got, you know, it is an amazing thing. We even have an organization. It's a diplomatic organization that we established. It's a diplomatic mission in Washington, D.C. and in New York City. It's called the National Coalition for Syrian Revolutionary and Opposition Forces. And their purpose is to lobby and obtain arms for the terrorists. And this facilitates global terrorism, and it perpetuates bloodshed in Syria. What are we doing with terrorist diplomatic missions in the capital of the United States of America? Is anything more insane than that? This is fantastic. It was Al-Qaeda that brought down the Twin Towers in 9/11, and yet here we are funneling anti-tank missiles and advanced weapons so that they can block the Syrian government. We are simply on a suicidal venture. We've imposed U.S. sanctions on the Syrian government. And because we've also imposed financial sanctions, a pound of potatoes in Syria now cost half a week's salary. People are hungry. They're, you know, we don't allow spare parts for machinery and so forth to go into Syria. So what happens? People can't make a living. What does that do? It promotes refugees. And then we say, oh my gosh, they're refugees. We've got to destroy ISIS. Well, okay, it's fine to destroy ISIS, but let's end the United States sanctions on the people fighting ISIS. End the sanctions on Syria. This is suicidal what we're doing. So we do that type of thing. We need to end the sanctions. We need to stop entering Syrian territorial waters and land space without their permission. I'm sure they would give permission in reasonable circumstances. And then we wouldn't have to go over Turkish land. We could simply go from the Mediterranean straight across Syrian land space. And we could do it legally within the bounds of law. We need to be allied with Syria. Here's the reason. One of two forces will win this war. It will be Syria, or it will be the terrorist, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever they're called. They're all the same. We've got a choice between a stable secular government with widespread popular support, or a group of terrorists who in 6 years of war have never advanced a single leader who has enjoyed popular support among the Syrian people. We're trying to put a puppet regime in charge, one that's satisfactory to the Saudi Arabians, one that will institute brutal Sharia law, will slaughter 2 million Christians, will slaughter 2 million Alawites. If we facilitate a terrorist victory in Syria, it will result in one of the greatest bloodsheds in human history. Once, if Damascus falls to the terrorists, Lebanon will fall, Jordan will fall, and then with a new caliphate, a great caliphate behind Turkey. You know, Turkey is in the process of becoming an absolute, total dictatorship under the sort of patterned after the government of Adolf Hitler. And once they have a caliphate at their back, they are going to begin a drive on Western Europe. And Western Europe is in such a mess now. They've been settled with 1 million people who are in large part jihadist, waiting for the signal from Turkey to rise up and undermine Europe. Very, very dangerous situation, which is another reason we need to be out of NATO. We're allied with Turkey, which at one time was a good, decent country and has now become it's on the verge with a referendum that's coming up within the next month. It will be a total dictatorship. This will be the new Adolf Hitler, but it'll be located in Turkey and very, very dangerous to Western civilization.
Indeed, these are truly tragic circumstances. And hopefully good wins out with more voices like yours out there representing us. Well, hopefully this message resonates with students and people around the world. We thank you for your time and for your hard work. Keep on doing what you're doing, Senator Black.
Well, thank you very much. And I applaud your efforts, your trip to Russia. I think that's going to be a very productive one. And together, we will make a difference. I think we will somehow managed to undermine the power of the deep state that has taken control of so much of global politics. We need to get back to fewer enemies, more peace. I think we can do it with your help and with people like you.